you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from John 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. That's reading from John chapter 14, verse 12.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. And that voice was Pastor Mike Yoder of Vineyard Church here in Urbana. And I so appreciate him and the ministry that's going on at Vineyard Church. In fact, if you were tuned in yesterday, you heard a little snippet. It was only about 25 minutes of a 2.5 hour program of worship, of prayer, and of testimony, and healing, and people reveling in the goodness of God. And so if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at wluj.org and greatnewsradio.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But I wanted to have Pastor Mike Yoder in today because I appreciate him. I appreciate his church. I appreciate the ministry work that Vineyard is doing. Vineyard Church has been hosting our pastor and ministry leader luncheon for, I guess we're getting close to about a year. And on the first Thursday of every month, we typically gather about 70 pastors and ministry leaders, and we have a time of fellowship, a time of a good meal, and then there's always a capable speaker that'll encourage, equip, and empower these men and women of God in their high calling. Well, Mike many times is doing the sound, he's cleaning up tables after people, he's a servant, and that's kind of a mega church in our area, and so his heart is for unity, his heart is for lifting high the name of Jesus. But I appreciated yesterday's message that was preached a week ago Sunday because it talked about our identity in Christ and how important it is that we see that Jesus is the reason we gather on Sundays. And what I appreciate about Pastor Mike and Pastor Jason and many of the pastors in our area, as much as they love their denomination or some of their church background, they're more about what can God do that brings us together? How can we be one in Christ? And so that's his heart. And so I wanted to have him in today to share a little of his faith journey. I think in the last 13 months, they've had over 600 baptisms, and he's all about God's word. He loves to preach it, to teach it, to share it. But Mike, I already am going to say from the onset, I wish I had like 3 days in a row, but we're fitting you in on today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, to share a little of your story and some of your testimony and how you see God at work.
Well, thank you first and foremost just for inviting me on. It's an honor. Thank you for those kind words, but I could just repeat them all back to you. I've been so encouraged by the work and the ministry that you do to bring people together. I love to see the church working together to focus on Jesus above being partisan, above places. And I love the local church. I love the expressions of the local church. But I've just so appreciated the work that you have done to bring us all together. We just get to host. I just get to show up. And selfishly, it makes it easy for me to show up because I just get to walk down the hall. So yeah. I love it. It's been awesome to be part of those ministry gatherings and to just see how God does want to move in our communities, in our cities. He does want unity. That's part of the call of what it means to pastor, to lead. When you look at the Bible, it says we're to work toward the other, towards unity. They'll know Jesus by how we love one another, right?
And wasn't it Jesus that said in his own prayer to the Father that they would be one as we are one? That's
absolutely
an incredible concept that Jesus desires us to be unified and to represent him to the community. And what greater way than when one church interacts with another church? And I love the fact that Vineyard Church had another big church pastor, Pastor Jason Epperson, come and speak as the keynote.
Yeah, well, I love Jason. He did a fantastic job, and I want to give a shout out to him. He did an incredible job of coming, of sharing. I am so encouraged by his humility and those of other pastors that we've been gathering with that, yeah, we're here for one another. that's a win for all of us. And as the water rises, all ships rise with the rising tide. I think that's what God wants to do, is to see that happen. So it's been really, really fun to do that. And I was really blessed by him coming and sharing with us.
And you mentioned on yesterday's program, when you were introducing Pastor Jason, where I think there's four or five different churches, that the staffs are coming together and praying, and the impact that that's having on your life, the encouragement, and yet how it is bringing us together. And I don't want to minimize denominations, because there are some preferences or worship styles or unique things that are why you're meeting. So I love when Baptists love their Baptist church, and the Nazarene love their Nazarene, the Assemblies God love. But I love the fact that Christ's prayer is being answered when we come together and we look at what we have in common, the Lord Jesus Christ. So
it's been really a huge blessing to do that with those churches and gather. And it really is once a month. It's all of our staff just coming together and saying, hey, let's pray. And we got together and said, how could we do more stuff together? And we all landed, well, the place we have to start is with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer becomes so important, because that's the thing that centers our hearts around what God is doing. If we're not looking at it through God's heart, through God's lens, then we'll be doing it out of our own selfish ambition. And so prayer has been such a powerful, and those gatherings have been such a unifying place for us. And we're just continuing to see opportunities that we can serve, and we're sharing ideas like, hey, what if we all got together and did this? What if we all got together and did this? And then just inviting all of the churches to come and be part of those things has been really, really good.
Yeah, you and Pastor Jason, and I could list a number of other pastors, but I love the fact that many of you have said, what could we do that's beyond any one church that would force us all to rally together and to see God get the credit and the glory? And that's one of the things that's exciting about the greater Champaign-Urbana area. And it's also happening in parts of Springfield. And then there's a group in Decatur that's praying each month that I've been attending.
Really come to that place of humility that says, I can't actually be the church for everyone. And if you really look at the demographics, you look at the numbers, you start looking at the statistics, you're like, wow, there is a lot of people that don't know Jesus in our community. We need all of us. Our church can't be the pastor. My wife, Julie, and I, who we pastor together, we know there's no way we can do that. We can't do that within our own team. Like, we need other team members, other pastors to be able to pastor well. And we can look across Champaign-Urbana and say, hey, this is something that needs all churches coming together. This community needs all of us working together to do that. I remember coming to the Vineyard 26 years ago, and I know we're getting into my story a little bit, but I remember one of the things, we went to a newcomer, it was like a newcomer class, and I remember my father-in-law, it was my future father-in-law at the time, was sharing, and he just said, we hope you love this church as much as we do, but if you don't, we know that God loves the whole church, and his plan is for every single person to be in a family of believers. So let us help you find that home. If this isn't it, we know lots of other pastors. And that was such an encouragement. Like, why would this pastor who is trying to get me to come to their church, like, tell me, hey, we'll help you find somewhere else if you need to. And it was like such an encouragement. And it's something we've continued to do and share in all of our classes to this, like when we have those newcomer gatherings, like, hey, here's who we are. Hey, but if this isn't for you, let us help you find a church home.
And one of the privileges I have with the radio ministry is I get to visit a lot of churches.
Yeah, I
usually start at one church on Sunday, and then I'll visit another church. So many times I go to two different services. But I love when the pastor or somebody in the congregation gets up and prays, and they include, and Lord, work through all the other pastors in the churches in our community. So it's not a competition.
Yeah.
It's the same how WBGL invited us when we went on the air 30 years ago and sent us a bouquet of flowers and an arrangement, and they all signed a card and wished us well. And I've never seen that as competition. It's like, hey, when we have maybe too much teaching, listen to their praise and worship music. Mm-hmm. And when you need something else, flip over to us and back.
Yeah.
And for both of us.
I love that. I love that.
Well, you have a lot of favorite verses as a pastor who loves to preach and teach God's word. And you had referenced some Ephesians chapter 3 and 4, but John 14:12 that you opened up with, why does this have special or unique meaning for you?
Yeah, and it probably gets into a little bit of my story, and I won't go too far, but I think one of the things that God has really hit me with is that I've known Jesus my whole life. And the place where I've struggled or I've had issues, it's not necessarily begin because I've walked away from faith. It's because I've begun to think of faith as a little too mundane. I think of it through my own lens. I think of it through like, well, what can I do? And I think that verse, it's important for me. It's an important part of our own church's journey and the navigating what God is doing. But this understanding that there's always so much more than what I can perceive, that what I can understand. And it's the same, and you'll see it in Ephesians 3 there, where it's like that God wants to do the same and greater works in John 14:12, but also that he wants to do more than we can ask or imagine. I think God's always expanding my understanding of, if I'm limiting him to my thinking, then the enemy's already winning. But this idea that when I hear that verse, when I look at and do what Jesus did, just to do what Jesus did, much less the same and greater works, that's something that I need faith for that. That's a risk. That's a faith. That's a stretch for me. And to know, like, I'm never going to arrive at some place where I've got it figured out. And it's always a place that spurs me on to say, wow, if Jesus did this and he says we get to do the things that he did, that changed my life. That understanding changed my life. It changed my life when I came to Vineyard because it opened my eyes to something that was different, and it was really important in that. But to know that I'm going to do the same things Jesus did, because he did some crazy things when he was here on the earth. And if that's who we get to be, if I get to live in a place where my faith is expanded, where God can still do miracles, where we're still here to heal, set free, and deliver people, because that's what Jesus did. That's what the kingdom of God does when it breaks into people's lives. I can be part of that. I can be excited about that.
And some of that, and it was talked about on yesterday's program and preached at the Holy Spirit night, is when we recognize who our identity is. We're beloved children, beloved men and women of God, and that we are favored. We are uniquely called. We are gifted. I think of the fruits of the Spirit that can be active agents in us as we reach a hurting world, as we reach the lost, or we equip the saints. And so you're all about that, and so many pastors are about that. But talk a little bit about that faith journey and how Jesus became real and evident.
Yeah, that identity piece is such an important one, too, and I'd love to come back and talk more about that. So, you know, for my own story, I grew up here in Central Illinois. I actually grew up in the Arthur area, just a little south of Champaign-Urbana, where I'm at now with my wife, Julie. I grew up in a Mennonite church. You know, I think it was till I was 20 years old that I grew up in the Mennonite church. That was my family had gone there. My grandparents had gone there. In fact, I was sharing with you, Mark, earlier, my grandfather on my mom's side, they were in the Amish church, actually, until my mom was 6 years old and left. I am so deeply thankful. Again, this is, I think, an appreciation. Deeply thankful for the faith that I learned to love Jesus there. I learned to love the scripture there. I learned what it meant to do life and community well together. There's some things I could go back to where I grew up and say, oh boy, they could teach us some things about, continue to teach us some things about. So I'm deeply thankful for that journey. So, you know, family always knew faith. Jesus was always a part of my story. I still remember making that decision when I was 9 years old, walking over to my parents' bedroom, and I want to give my life to Jesus, like officially, I think was what it was. But it was a continuation of a journey that I think I had been on. And so that was part of it. Went to Christian schools there and ended up going to Christian college up in Minnesota. And because my family background had been like my grandfather, my dad, my extended family were all kind of business owners and entrepreneurs in that area. That was my thing. That was what I was going to do. I went to the school. I went to a college in Minnesota because I got to play basketball. It was a Christian college. And I was like, I'm going to do this business administration thing. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to learn to do that. And funny enough, I ended up, because of the way their program is set up, I have a second degree in Christian studies, like a dual major program. It wasn't my intention. I was like, yeah, God, that's great. I'm going into the business world. That's what I'm going to do. And so that's what I did. Came back out of that in the early 2000s. And while I was in college, actually, my family had started attending the Vineyard. So I was still in school. Came back and I'm like, hey, through a whole long story of how they ended up there, I said, well, I guess I'm going to go figure out where my family's going. I'm going to go check this place out. And it was different. It was different than the Mennonite church that I had grown up in. They still love the scripture, you know, still love the word. This thing with the Holy Spirit was a big jump, and it was a leap for me of like understanding how the Holy Spirit wanted to empower us in a different way and empower me differently than I even understood growing up in the church. And so I began to attend there, and that was a big change in my journey. So I graduated college, moved home. Ended up meeting, I'm marrying the pastor's daughter. So whether I was on the fence or not, that decision alone made it like, well, you're here now. So my wife, Julie, who you know grew up in the Vineyard, that's the only church she's ever known, is the church that we're leading together today. That was still not my intention to be in any kind of ministry. So came back working for a family business, get married in 04. But right before when we were dating, it was interesting. It was a key part of my story with this journey with the Holy Spirit is we do a program called Alpha. I don't know if you're familiar with the Alpha program.
Nikki
run across
Gumbel.
The world. Nikki Gumbel, amazing. Yep. Just an incredible program. We run it to this day. That's a beautiful introduction to faith, to the foundations of faith. Who is Jesus? Who is the Bible? It's just a great place for people who are seeking to come to. And so while we're dating, Julie invites me to come to this Holy Spirit. And really, I found out later, it was missionary, kind of missionary. Yeah. She wanted me to make sure there's a ministry in the middle of this is there's this thing called Holy Spirit Day. And so I had an encounter in that thing where I was like, you know what, God, I'm going to be open to this. I'm open to whatever you have for me, but I'm not faking it. And I don't want anybody to force me to do anything. That was my negotiations with God. I'm not going to do it. And so we did this day away where we're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And we're praying in our small groups. And I'm kind of a helper in the group. And Julie and somebody else are kind of the leaders in the group. I'm supposed to be there kind of incognito to help. Sure. We're praying for somebody else. And while we're praying for somebody else, I had my first experience of speaking in tongues. And not a single person was praying for me. Not a single person had their hands on me. Nobody was even looking at me. And I felt the palpable presence of God in a way that I had never experienced. And I remember coming away from that. And later I picked up my Bible and I read the Bible. And it was like the word came alive in a different way. It was like if I was covering my eye with my hand for most of my faith journey, and I opened it up and like suddenly there's a different perspective. There's a different perspective in this. And it has become a marking place where, again, I'm so deeply thankful for the place that I grew up in, the journey of that. But it changed my trajectory in more ways than I ever would have imagined going forward. But spent the next 13 years after we got married, I was working in the business world. Julie for a while taught school at Edison Middle School right here in Champaign, sure. Where my kids, I have four kids. Two of them have gone through. I've got one in, and I got another one that's waiting, and he'll be going to that school as well. Before they go on basically on the same path that Julie and her brothers all went to. And thought that was my journey. I was like, Julie kind of always felt a call to ministry. She eventually joined the church a few years after we had our first kid as a small group pastor. And I'm like, I'm here to support Julie's ministry habit. That was my goal. I'm going to keep doing it. I love the business world. I love what I was doing. I ended up working the family business down Arthur for a few years, then worked in the research park at the University of Illinois for 10 years, one in a biotech company, and then secondly in a green technology startup, kind of the world that I was in. And that was where I was at. So did that, and then it was in those last about 3 years of doing that God began to speak differently. I always thought I had lots of objections, like why I would never, I'm not going to be in ministry, I'm not going to do this. And then end of 2014, and the executive pastor had left to take another job, left on good terms, but he said, you should talk to Mike and Julie about this job. And Julie was already obviously a pastor on the team, and God had been speaking differently, but I didn't know what it was going to look like. And I remember when they came, when Julie's parents, Happy and Diane, who were the founding pastors of the Vineyard Church 46 years ago or 47 years ago, came and asked. I remember we started to pray and we realized God had actually answered all the objections that we thought we had, which he's so faithful to do. When he's ready for you to be in the space, had we been asked 3 years before, we would have not been able to say yes. But God's timing is so good that we said yes. And so we became executive pastors in 2015. And then in 2019, we said yes to being the senior pastors. And that was just in time for COVID. And about a month before we had our fourth surprise baby, who is our caboose, a kid. We have two boys and two girls. So she's about 6 years younger than our others. But the timing on that was a lesson in discipline and perseverance through COVID and through all of those things. But God has been so faithful. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I think in your head, you often like, is this really where I'm supposed to be? And then I look back, I'm like, this is actually the longest thing that you've ever done in your whole life is being a pastor. And I'm like, in my head, it's like, well, I'm just getting started. But it's been almost 11 years, and God has been doing some really incredible and amazing things. It is the most amazing thing I could choose to do, but it's also one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's been an amazing journey.
I know one of the things you said off air and your heart for reaching the lost and also equipping the saints. So yeah. For the unchurched person that's maybe tuned in today, somebody that's like a relationship with God and how does Jesus work into this? What would be maybe a simple way for them to understand that God loves them and made a way?
Yeah, I think that understanding that we have been designed and created by a creator with a purpose. And one of the core purposes is to just be in relationship with him. Like we were created to be in a family. And I know for some people, family is a hard word. People navigate that. And the beautiful thing about God, I think, like, I love the idea of God the Father as one of those places to understand that even if we don't have a good father here, coming off of Father's Day, like, such a privilege to be a father. And God is like, that's one of the most divine purposes that I can have is to do that. But to see, like, God's willing to do this, even when we as the kids aren't always in a good space, when we aren't always behaving, he loves us. Because he loves us, because he loves us. And it's such an incredible thing to know that he loves us so much that Jesus, his son, actually came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be in relationship because of the brokenness that caused that. Sin is just, it's brokenness. It broke the template with which God created us to be. And Jesus wants to restore that so that we can be in full connection with the family we were meant to be in. And when we talk about equipping the saints, I know you mentioned that. I think one of the things that was so transformative, like, is that Jesus wants us to do all the things. That's why that John 14:12 verse is so powerful. Jesus wants us to do the things he showed us how to do when he was here. And he wants people to be healed. He wants people to be set free. He wants to see them in salvation, which just means saying yes to Jesus as Lord of your life, to say, hey, I'm going to live my life with you and in obedience to you. You know, people can hear like an obedience word can almost feel hard for people. I'm like, man, if we can understand that he wants the very best for us, the very best for us, that he's going to be there. He doesn't mean that everything's going to be good. He just said, even when it gets hard, I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Oh, that's a promise that I can hold on to. Right. And I remember my brother-in-law told me this. You know, we were talking one time, and we were just talking about faith and what does it mean. It's like, why choose Jesus? And he said, you know what? Life is just better with Jesus. Life is just better with Jesus. And I was like, yeah. My life is better with Jesus than it is without.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, I get to the end, it's like, man, my life is better, and I want to live that life for him. So my encouragement, if you haven't said yes to Jesus, this is an opportunity. It's a simple yes, but it's a profound difference in our life when we truly say yes to him.
One of my favorite verses, and I've probably shared this, I don't know, 50 times over the air, over these 30 or so years, is that James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, or come near to God and he'll come near to you. So listening, friend, maybe you don't believe a God exists, or you look at the world and you say there's heartache, there's pain, there's suffering, there's wars, there's rumors of wars and so forth. And you say, how could a good God allow that? Well, draw near to him, seek him out, read the scriptures, be around other believers, people that go to church and follow Jesus, and see what makes them tick. See how they represent God the Father to you, and then get to know Jesus. Ask God through the Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind as I read these scriptures. Help me understand your truth. Help me understand that relationship you desire for me. Because the scriptures say, while we were still sinners, so you can't clean up yourself good enough because you go to church or because you do the right things or because you tithe or give an offering or do nice deeds. That's not going to get you into heaven. It's because of Jesus. God demonstrated his love for that while we were still sinners. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, died. He paid the penalty for our sins, for my sins on the cross. And as you accept him and reach out to him, he'll reveal himself to you. That's what the Bible says. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Well, listening friend, I hope you're encouraged. If you don't have a church family, what are the times, Vineyard, on Sunday?
Sunday mornings right now is two services, 9:15 and 11:15 every Sunday. And we would love to have you and come be a part of that. And like I said, if you're looking and you come, I hope you love it as much as I do. But if not, we will always be a church that wants to help you find a church home. And there are some incredible churches that I know that I would go to if I wasn't had to lead our church and do this. Man, there's some great churches in town, and we need all of the churches. And so if you need a place to go, come and see us. We'd love to have you. 9:15 11:15, and we will see you there.
And that's the Vineyard Church in Urbana on Lincoln Avenue, so easy to get to off of I-74 there, or drive in right into town onto Lincoln Avenue. And as we've mentioned a number of times in the past, it may take you two or three or five different churches. Don't stop going to church because you had a bad experience at one church, or you didn't like the style of worship or a situation and how they preached God's word. Try them. God will find the right home where your gifts, your abilities, your talents can enhance that church and that experience. So God wants you in church. He wants you fellowshipping with other like-minded believers and growing and being that faithful disciple of Jesus. And God's ambassador, you get to allow him to work in and through you today, where you go, wherever you go. You get to bring that good news message of Jesus. So, well, Pastor Mike, thank you for joining me. I'm going to have you back because I know there's other topics I want to talk about, and just your heart for the community, for what God's doing in and through your family and your beloved. We didn't get to really honor Julie very much, but I know that God has used her in so many ways over these years, and maybe we'll have you both back.
Let me encourage you, if she's actually the one you want to come and listen to, she's actually the better preacher by far. So if you want a great preach, that's her. That's for sure.
That's Julie. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Mike Yoder with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.